You know, for the longest time, I think for what, 2 decades?
At least, yeah.
If a video game adaptation hit the screen, you braced yourself for a creative disaster.
Oh, absolutely. The scripts were always rushed, the source material was completely ignored.
And the results always felt like these, I don't know, these cheap cash grabs. But now,
Yeah.
that entire dynamic has just completely flipped.
It really has. What was once a total punchline for Hollywood is quickly becoming its lifeline.
It's a huge cultural shift. We're
Yeah.
seeing studios actively hunting down these massive video game properties.
And they're not just treating them like valuable IP anymore. They're seeing them as like the next artistic frontier. This isn't just about another Sonic sequel.
No, not at all. This is about prestige television and cinema. And that is the mission for this deep dive. We want to explain the fundamental reasons why this is all happening now.
And it really boils down to a couple of key things.
I think so. It's narrative depth and a big generational change. And then we're going to dive into six absolutely massive upcoming projects,
From God of War.
all the way to Zelda. And these projects, they really prove that the artistic ambition behind this gaming cinema movement is, well, it's real.
It is, and our sources are confirming this isn't just some temporary fad. I mean, the speed of investment alone is staggering.
So what are they saying is the key date?
2026 is the year that keeps coming up. It's cited as the tipping point, the year where A-list actors are no longer running away from these roles.
They're actually chasing them.
They're pursuing them. They get it. They see that this is where the most complex and exciting stories are being told right now.
Okay, so let's unpack that. Because studio boardrooms, they don't usually move this fast unless they sense both a massive opportunity and a crisis.
Exactly.
So let's start with the crisis. Why are they so eager to move on from what used to be the sure thing?
Because the sure thing has kind of run out of steam. I mean, for years, the entire market was just held hostage by Marvel and DC.
Oh, for sure.
But if you look at the recent box office data, there's undeniable superhero fatigue. It's real.
The stories feel formulaic now, don't they? The scale gets bigger, but it somehow feels less meaningful.
And honestly, the endless multiverses have just become confusing for a general audience. They're getting lost.
Right, so if the capes are losing their luster, Hollywood needs a new mythology. It needs a new source of worlds and characters that feel fresh to the masses.
And that's where gaming steps in. It's the perfect substitution.
It offers these untapped, fully fleshed out worlds.
Totally. The general audience, they haven't experienced the galactic opera of Mass Effect or the sheer terror of Dead Space.
There's novel concepts, but they come prepackaged with a fan base that's already incredibly loyal and passionate.
And that leads us right to the two main drivers behind this whole golden age. The first one is what you mentioned, the narrative depth of the source material itself.
Exactly. I mean, think about character development in a game like The Last of Us Part 2 or Red Dead Redemption 2.
You spend 50, 60, maybe 100 hours in that world. You aren't just watching that character, you're inhabiting them,
No.
making choices.
That interaction forges this deep emotional bond that a regular 2-hour movie just can't replicate. It's impossible.
So when those players show up for the adaptation, they don't just know the
You
character.
feel a history with them, a
Yeah.
sense of ownership over that journey. They are, I think, the most loyal audience Hollywood has ever seen.
And the second factor is that generational shift. The new wave of decision makers in Hollywood, the writers, the directors, the showrunners, they're not just looking at games as IP.
They're gamers themselves.
Yes, that's the key. That is the difference between passion and just cynicism.
We saw Jonathan Nolan, the creator of Westworld, talking publicly about how much he loves the Fallout games.
And look what happened. You get a project driven by genuine affection, and you get the billion-dollar success of something like the Super Mario Bros. Movie, not the creative betrayals we saw in the early 2000s.
So respecting the source material is the billion-dollar lesson.
Yeah.
Okay, let's pivot from the why to the how. How are studios actually backing this up with money and ambition?
Well, we have to start with the technical heavyweight in the room.
Amazon's God of War.
Exactly. After the massive success they just had with Fallout, Amazon has basically given this project a blank check.
The budgets are insane. We're hearing estimates soaring over $20 million an episode.
And the story focus is confirmed. It's the Norse saga from the 2018 game, so we'll get that older, weary Kratos in Midgard.
Trying to hide his blades of chaos, raising Atreus.
Right. Though our sources do promise we'll still get some flashbacks to his bloodier Greek past.
Which is great. But for me, the most interesting part is the technical challenge. Corey Barlog, the game's director, is an executive producer.
And he's pushing for something huge.
He wants the show to use the game's signature visual, That continuous single take camera.
The famous long takes. I mean, if they can pull that off, sustained uncut sequences on a major TV budget, keeping you locked to Kratos's perspective.
That would do more than just be a cool homage. It would genuinely revolutionize cinematography for streaming platforms.
It would, but it creates this massive casting dilemma, doesn't it?
It really does. The actor they choose needs to be able to embody, like, heavy silence and controlled rage, all without pages of dialogue to help him.
It's a huge acting challenge. Most big action films would actively avoid that.
Fan anxiety was through the roof for a while. There were all those rumors about Dwayne The Rock Johnson or Jason Momoa.
Thankfully, our sources debunked those pretty quickly. It really seems like they're looking for an actor who can deliver that nuance, even if it means less initial star power.
Okay, so if God of War is the technical powerhouse, let's look at a completely different kind of risk.
Yeah.
Netflix's take on Horizon Zero Dawn.
Which is titled Horizon 2047.
And that date, 2047, that's the whole twist, isn't it?
It's a very clever twist. Instead of just adapting Aloy's story, they're making a prequel. They're focusing on the height and the subsequent collapse of human civilization in the late 2040s.
That gives them such a brilliant narrative canvas to play with.
It really does. They can explore all the darker corporate political thriller stuff from the lore.
And answer the big questions. Like, what was Ted Farrow's fatal mistake that actually ended the world? How do these peacekeeping robots become giant world eaters?
It lets them tell a totally new story within that universe, which could then be a perfect foundation for an Aloy series later on.
But the VFX budget must be monumental. We're talking about huge CGI mechanical dinosaurs, thunder jaws, tall
Oh,
necks.
yeah. Netflix is going to have to dedicate resources comparable to their biggest shows, like Stranger Things, just to make those visuals believable.
Okay, so we've covered the big budget technical plays. Let's shift gears a bit. Let's talk about the projects that are prioritizing artistic purity, maybe some direct cinematic homage.
And we have to start with Ghost of Tsushima.
Absolutely.
I mean, this game was spiritually born from the work of the Japanese master filmmaker Akira Kurosawa.
It's in his DNA.
So it makes perfect sense that Sony gave the film to Chad Stahelski, the director behind the John Wick franchise.
And Stahelski's commitment here is what's really making waves. He's insisting on an all-Japanese cast.
And he wants to release the film in Japanese with subtitles to preserve that cultural integrity. This is not going to be a standard Hollywood samurai flick.
No, it's a real commitment to authenticity.
And visually, they're aiming for a moving painting. The wind, the falling leaves. Those things were characters in the game, and they'll be central to the film's visual language.
And they're actually planning to use the game's Kurosawa mode.
They are that black and white film grain filter. They'll use it for specific high contrast sequences. It's just a fantastic homage.
The action, too. The choreography is apparently grounded in real kenjutsu.
Which means realism. One mistake equals death. Not the flashy, unrealistic spinning you see in most Western action films.
What's the hottest casting rumor for that one?
Kiryuki Sanada, who is just dominating prestige TV right now as Jin's uncle, Lord Shimura.
Oh, that would be perfect.
If he signs on, the chemistry between him and Jin becomes the emotional anchor for the entire film.
Okay, so from honor and spectacle, we go to something completely different. High concept, art house horror with Death Stranding.
Yeah, and the big surprise here is the partner Hideo Kojima chose.
He didn't go to a giant blockbuster studio.
No. He went to A24, the studio behind films like Hereditary and Everything Everywhere All at Once.
That move alone tells you everything you need to know, doesn't it?
It immediately signals that Kojima, who's always sort of seen himself as a frustrated filmmaker, is chasing artistic credibility and cult status over a guaranteed box office smash.
So the narrative is going to be deep, philosophical, and probably way more horrific than the game.
I think so. The world of Death Stranding has terrifying potential. You have the timefall rain that ages everything it touches.
And the invisible BTs, the beached things, these horrifying cosmic ghost things stalking you.
You should not go into this film expecting a standard action movie. The audience needs to anticipate something mind-bending, confusing, terrifying, but also mesmerizing.
And Norman Reedus is likely to come back as Sam Porter Bridges.
Given his relationship with Kojima, it feels almost certain.
Okay. That leaves us with the ultimate sacred IP. After the Super Mario Bros. Movie cleared over $1 billion, all eyes are on Nintendo's next big move.
The live-action adaptation of The Legend of Zelda?
The stakes here just couldn't be any higher.
They really couldn't. And this venture, directed by Wes Ball, comes with a very bold artistic vision. Ball described it as live-action Hayao Miyazaki.
Which sounds amazing. The goal is to make Hyrule feel as real and lived in as, say, Peter Jackson's Middle Earth.
But the writers have two massive hurdles to overcome right away. The first is Link himself.
The silent protagonist. He never speaks in the games, but a silent lead in a feature film is incredibly difficult to pull off.
How do you give him a voice and dialogue without fundamentally breaking that character for millions of fans?
Yeah, the second challenge is technical, right?
It is, bringing the non-human races to life. The Gorons, the Zoras, the Rito, without them looking like cheap CGI.
Or worse, like something out of that Warcraft movie.
Our sources pointed to the Warcraft movie as the exact cautionary tale. If they fail on that front, the whole thing falls apart. Success here is absolutely vital.
Because it unlocks the potential for a whole Nintendo Cinematic Universe.
That's the end game.
So when we look at all of this, this accumulation of ambition and money and commitment, what does it all mean for the industry?
It just reiterates that central realization we talked about at the start. Respecting the source material is everything.
Because gamers are the most loyal and passionate demographic out there.
Exactly. The studios have finally learned that if you deliver on that respect, like with Mario, you generate billions. But if you betray that trust,
like many felt they did with the Halo TV series,
you face immediate and total social media destruction.
And so we circle right back to 2026, the confirmed tipping point. If these flagship projects, especially the heavyweights like God of War and Zelda, actually succeed,
both creatively and financially,
then Hollywood officially enters the decade of gaming cinema.
It's a true market correction. The share captured by Marvel and DC is shrinking, and the capes are slowly giving way to fantasy armor and post-apocalyptic sci-fi.
Which brings us to the final thought we want to leave you with. When you consider all the different artistic and technical risks we've laid out, which project do you think is most likely to define this new decade?
Is it Kratos breaking the streaming records that were just set by Fallout? Or could The Legend of Zelda, with its huge task of balancing nostalgia and new story, become the new king of box office fantasy?
Think about the single-take camera ambition of God of War, or the commitment to subtitles and cultural authenticity that Ghost of Tsushima. Which one of these creative decisions is the riskiest bet, and why? That's what we'll leave you to mull over as Hollywood barrels full speed toward its new frontier.